You're listening to Thursday Mornings with Alex and Don.
GMAD.
Don is a pastor with 40 years experience.
And Alex is just as curious as you are. We look at the most important
and interesting questions about the Bible and Christian faith.
So let's talk about it.
Pastor Don.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you doing?
All right.
Still.
Till that first question.
Yep. Yeah. And like we said, this is kind of be part two-ish. We did touch a little bit on it last week.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure how to phrase the question, but what we were talking about kind of came from a little bit of Matthew chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
verses 1 through 5 is that like nice
sweet spot
mm-hmm. where, you know, everybody in the world likes that. You know, mm-hmm. stop judging everyone,
yeah,
you know?
Just don't judge.
Yeah, don't judge anybody or else there's punishments. You'll be judged.
Mm-hmm.
God will judge you. But God's already going to judge us. He's the one that is going to do that. And then we were talking about chapter or verse number 6,
mm-hmm.
which comes into the, what is that called? Is that a proverb or a?
It is more of a proverb.
Okay. Where it says,
Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces.
Yes.
They don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with it. It's a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think we see that in culture. There's a little bit on, you know, so like I feel like we can separate some churches just with, is the Bible but biblical inerrancy
mm-hmm.
a little bit. So I can see if you're having someone who's not a Christian at all, trying to get them to come into your congregation, be a part of it. If you give them a really weighty passage,
mm-hmm.
you know, something
right.
that's just immediately, here's all the things wrong with your life. Well, they're going to turn against you. They're going to become ravenous. They don't really know what to do with that kind of conviction yet.
True.
Right? So, but you don't want to be the church that doesn't do that, right? You
right.
don't want to be, or I guess I assume most people would say, you don't want to be around people that always just keep.
Oh, you're nine.
If you're doing everything just fine,
mm-hmm.
right? Too much affirmation is not a good thing.
True.
Right? But there's a lot of that going on in the culture. If you're not affirming something of somebody's, that's a bad thing.
Affirming, yes.
That's, yes.
Everybody's affirming. That
mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what they're affirming, they're affirming.
You have to affirm or else you're driving them to something terrible. Suicidal thoughts, you know, bad things.
Right.
Is there a right and a wrong there? Are we doing too much of this Bible beating? Not my words, but
okay.
that's
somebody else's.
Somebody else's
okay.
And we're not getting enough of Jesus's love because that's how some churches are being viewed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. So let me flip that one on its head.
Yeah.
Let's just take you and I.
Okay.
So if you do something that I know is going to be your ruin in humanity and I don't tell you about it, do I love you?
No.
Okay. So we know in human relationships that we're going to speak the truth to each other in such ways that we, you know, okay, I know Don doesn't like that. Oh, but there's also clinical reports that say that my health will go downstairs if I do this. And so it's as if maybe Don cares a bit. Okay. If we do that for each other, it's called accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're helping me be better, I'm helping you be better, and we're both better for it. And you talk, so it even goes back to Solomon's time that we sharpen each other.
Yep.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
And so, especially, we try to practice this among men so that we are better because we've been together and we know what the Bible says and we're trying to read it into our lives. And that's good stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's where the church should be. Going to church should not just be sitting in the pew and everybody be glad that you do. It should be a growing experience. And I think what's happened is we don't know what to do with discipleship. And we think discipleship is this terrible mantle of having to know everything that's in the Bible. That's our discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, it's growing to be more like Jesus.
Right.
But there's parts of my life that reflect all right and other parts that need to be changed.
Yeah.
Whereas it could be just the opposite in your life.
Yeah.
You may have
different things.
Different things that need to be done to get you into a different spot with Christ. And then we're not talking about just making sure we're good, looking good on the outside and maybe good on the inside. I'm talking about a deeper walk with Jesus Christ in such a way that we're living, breathing representatives of the Master.
Yeah.
So that means that takes some changing.
Yeah.
That has to change not only the way I think, but the way I do things and how I do them among others. And then we always have Satan trying to keep us from it.
Right. Right.
And so that's the other part of the...
Mm-hmm. But it's not very welcoming for a church to, you know... I know that I've told you many, you know, not many times, but I brought up to you a few times, you know, we really need to get our theology, our statement on the internet, you know, and you say, oh boy, you know,
yeah,
and it's a big thing.
And it's a big thing. And I find that when I come up to a church and if I'm consulting with a congregation, and I said, okay, do you know it?
Right.
And most of the people in the congregation haven't got a clue what that mission statement or that vision statement is to start with. So why do it? You know, the second piece is that really all you are?
Mm-hmm.
Because once the words are down, you might not be represented by those words. So it's sort of dangerous, cuts both ways.
Yes.
The thing that I really like to hear is when the congregation together, maybe in a big meeting, shares in that vision statement and it grows out of who they are, grows out of their DNA. And that's always, those are rich times.
Right.
And a lot of times, especially if you can make that statement very short and pithy, something that drives them forward, they can hang on to that and they'll remember it.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it has to be less than 7 words, something like that.
Sure.
For people to be able to commit it to memory quickly.
Yeah. So, I feel like I only remember just the one from many, many years ago when we were Methodists, just the open hearts, open minds, open doors.
6 words.
Yep.
Easy to remember.
Easy to remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that the fullness of your theology?
No.
No. Okay.
No. I mean, it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My heart is open. My mind is open. And then our doors are open.
Right.
Right. Anyone's welcome here. We love you.
Amen.
And there's more room in our hearts for you. And our mind is open to, at least for me, like my mind is, if you can prove me, if I make some sort of theological stance on something in the Bible where I say, this is what this means.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is definitely open for you to change my mind on that.
Let's have a conversation.
Let's have that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. If now I am going to judge you if you do not open a Bible or use a Bible to change my mind, because that doesn't make sense. Everyone's got different lived experience, and then it's subjective, right? So that's the tricky part.
Right.
But I think a good place to start is always, is the Bible true?
Right.
Is this the word of God? Is it ever wrong? That's kind of a good place to start.
It is a good place
to
start.
It's hard.
And it starts on, who do you believe God is? Who do you believe Jesus is? What do you believe of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And the place of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we make a case for that? Because someone might be listening and saying, these people think that Bible that's been translated 100 different ways to Sunday, they think that's 100% correct all the time, and that's the word of God.
I personally do. I haven't found a spot that I couldn't see that through.
Make your case.
Make my case.
Why?
So I like to do it piece by piece.
Okay.
Mainly because I've lived it. There's two pieces of that. One is the fact, every time I've went to study it and went deep in it on whatever question, I found the answer there. The second piece is I found that when the Holy Spirit wants to get a hold of me and get my attention, how many times I've come to the right passage at the right time, at the right day. So many times when Charlene and I do our devotions in the morning, we actually cover Daily Bread and then we go through David Jeremiah's. We do that one, and then we read 2 chapters of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So they got 4 sets of scripture running around every morning. And how many times Charlene and I look at each other and say, whoa,
yeah,
that's so close to the same theme
mm-hmm.
between all 4 scriptures.
Yeah.
And we wonder, Wow. Yeah. And we know there's not collaboration to that extent because we're just reading through two different places in the Bible and then the Daily Bread and David Jeremiah. But if the Holy Spirit wants to get our attention, it's amazing how fast we can wake up when all of a sudden the theme is in all four texts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, yes. Yeah. I believe God's word is living and active.
Yeah.
It's not dead on a page. And I believe it's inspired. I believe there's a Holy Spirit behind it. I do believe in textual criticism. And so I carry my Greek and Hebrew on my phone
mm-hmm.
and go back to the original text if necessary. If I find something that, well, that says it this way and really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's find out. Let's go back all the way
mm-hmm.
and check it out.
Yeah. I think that's one of the good things is that, you know, you can get tripped up
mm-hmm.
easily if the only thing that fuels your theology is Jesus loves you. If that's the only, well, if those are the only words that.
And I can right. say that's a fact.
Right.
Because Jesus does love
absolutely
everybody.
Absolutely a fact. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The other fact is, how do you respond to that love?
Exactly. Yeah.
And there was enough blood shed at the cross for salvation for every soul that has ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. And will live until he comes again. Jesus loves.
Right.
But do we?
Right.
And I think the measure of our discipleship, if we want to use that word, is how not only do we receive that love of Jesus into our lives, but reflect that love to the world around us so mm-hmm. they see Jesus.
Right.
And then in the brotherhood.
Yeah.
Because we know as Christians, this life has its ups and downs, and we're going to be in situations where it's better to walk it together
mm-hmm.
than individually. And we do that as the church.
Yes.
We show up for each other.
And I like where you're going with that, or I like how you said that, because how everything is defined is going to be, and how you group yourselves based on those definitions is important. If all you've got is, or if all you're going to decide on is like who is going to be accepted into our community, mm-hmm. or like who are we going to kick out because they don't agree with us, if you're basing that off of something simple like, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, that is a true thing that the Bible is telling us, that mm-hmm. God wants us to love your neighbor as yourself. Yet at the same time, that can be a divisive statement. A good example, I've seen this banner around churches, right? This sign, okay? And it says these things. They're like, Black Lives Matter. Science is real. Love is love. Women rights are human rights. Do you disagree with any of those things, Don?
No.
Not a one. Now, science is real doesn't make any sense to me, but those are so divisive. Mm-hmm. Every one of those statements is crazy divisive, and the people hanging it up know that they're divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the world knows, maybe not in the world, but everyone in America for sure can look at each one of those statements and know where this, what it actually means, right? But it's said in a way to not. Cause division, to seem more rational or loving or something like that. Because then, yeah, you know, if like someone meets Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter, that's also a divisive topic, right? Even though both of those statements on their own shouldn't be anything to argue about, they're both true.
Right.
Right.
But who does division serve?
The devil.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Evil.
Amen.
Division's evil, and that's why we shouldn't do it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I think if we're saying, you know, what does that mean? Instead of saying it with what you think in your head, with what the influences of the world have done to you, you know what? Check out the Bible.
Right.
The Bible's there so that you do not have to go off of the world's experience, the world's perception, and what the world wants you to believe.
Right.
It's now, like a nice little testing device.
Yes. And then you go to Titus 3 and realize you don't always listen to the divisive brother. And you go to James chapter 4 and realize you're to move away from sin and corruption. And so then we have churches separate from churches.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there'll be things said on both sides. Can you believe that they actually did? They must be a really, you know, horrible people.
Yeah.
You know? That they just wouldn't like stay in that congregation, or they would get rid of that person. Oh, how bigoted. It's strange because technically both are guilty of that same thing.
Yeah, I sort of like to be right in the center.
Well, everyone
does. If I'm getting thrown at, I guess I figure I'm pretty close to where Jesus was if I'm getting hit by both sides.
Oh.
Because that's just exactly where he was. I mean, it didn't matter whether he was eating with the sinners and then the tax collectors, you know. Mm-hmm. John didn't eat with sinners and tax collectors. He got it. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to eat with sinners and tax collectors. And he got it there too. Yeah. And so, and he points that out in the Gospels, you know. I can't make you guys happy. You know?
Right, right.
If we're getting hit by both sides of the continuum, I think we're about the right spot.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to say, well, are you conservative or are you liberal?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it also gives us the opportunity to say, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
And this is where I get it from.
So I tried to explain this to my wife the other week that, like, I don't, so I'm not a part of any political party. You know, I think back in the day, I checked the R box on, what would you do that on? Maybe the census or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Would that be on the census?
Registered to vote?
Maybe.
I bet it was your voter registration.
Okay. Because my grandpa was a longtime supervisor, talked politics on the time. Mm-hmm. Did a great job brainwashing me on that kind of stuff. But now I'm more of the, I'm like, I'm not joining your group. I'm not joining that group. Sorry, guys. Because there's one little thing's going to get ruined.
Everything gets wrote, seen through that heading,
yeah.
Through that label.
Yeah.
Once you grab a hold of the label. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what is that? Is that something that you're supposed to do? I mean, because obviously you're not going to do that with your belief in God.
Right. No. But your belief in God will dictate what you align with.
Okay.
Because what reflects best God's values.
Okay.
And if it doesn't reflect God's values, then you probably need to change what you're associated with. To me, a lot of things are pretty easy. I mean, I know how I feel about abortion.
Right.
So I know that God values life and even that life before birth. So I know how I feel about abortion and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I feel about that according to what I see in God's word. Do I not ache for those who are hurting because of unplanned pregnancy or LGBTQ issues? I hurt for them. Those are ways we identify as human beings with others around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hurt for them. Doesn't mean it's right. I mean, anyone who's caught up in things that separate us from God, which we'd call sin,
right?
They're hurting. They get there for a reason. And usually it's because of some pain in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't take a lot of time to open the door and say, you know, so maybe you have sin in your life. Maybe you have unconfessed sin. Maybe you have unforgiveness in your life. Maybe you're believing lies about who you are.
Yeah.
And maybe Satan's just whooping up on you.
Yeah.
And that can well be because Satan doesn't really want us as human beings to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that he can do to keep us from thriving and to take our soul from God, he will do. And I don't think we understand how relentless that is. That being said, what's going on in our culture is exactly what he likes. It's exactly what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't probably please Satan more if we were Satan worshipers, if we were openly, by the way things are going in our culture.
I see.
So
he'd much rather have it this way, churches pitted against each other, than he would if, you know, half the churches were devoted to him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's tripping people up left and right all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
By what he's propagating out there.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let Satan be a success.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, and even being a Satanist is kind of an oxymoron because that means that you believe in him and he doesn't want to be believed in.
Mm-mm. No, he believes
wants,
in God.
He wants no one to believe in anything.
Right.
Live for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's all about. I always thought that was an interesting stance to be someone who worships Satan. Because I'd have to imagine they're getting some sort of religious text to use.
Mm-hmm. Usually they flip Christian texts on their head.
Right. But then wouldn't you see that he doesn't want anyone to believe he's real? You know?
Yeah. He's just trying to be a distraction.
Yeah. Okay.
That's his gift.
Yeah. Is there a way to clean up the messaging that we have, or do you just continue to try to find someone, develop relationships, and be able to hopefully have a good conversation so that they fully understand you? Because a lot of it comes down to misunderstanding.
It really does. You know? It does. And so that having a relationship is really valuable in sharing our faith.
Right.
Because relationship comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conversation grows out of the relationship. It has a common ground to communicate from, usually a common set of abbreviations and definitions that can be used between the two.
Sure.
So that miscommunication is less if we're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know we're running a little long here, but I do have one last kind of like a clarifying or maybe a guidance question on that is, if you do have someone in your life who either you think that they, and this is a judgment thing, you know, either think that they are wrong about their beliefs, they have a
I think they're wrong.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
But they're saying that, you know, you're wrong, right? So there's a difference there, but they're saying you're not loving me. You should accept me as I am, which is true, right? But where's the difference between acceptance and affirmation? Does that make sense?
Acceptance is, okay, we're going to live in this together right now. Affirmation says, I never expect you to change.
Okay. Okay.
Or I don't want you even to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, why would we ever do that to each other as human beings? Don't we want to always be growing better and getting better? Our education system is set up in such a way that we hope that everybody excels in whatever set of gifts they've been given, knowing that each of us is different. I mean, some are mathematicians. I'm not a mathematician.
Me either.
Some are poets, and I'm not that either. But they give to us as a group out of their unique gifts.
Right.
So we want to, you know, say, that's all right. Yeah. We don't have to all be the same. We're more rich if we're not. But that which deviates from what I see God expecting us to do makes a difference.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we're wanting the best for each other in our walk with God, and that we're all going to be richer even in our spiritual lives by walking that together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that if you know someone who isn't, like, you don't believe the same that they believe. A really easy example, just because it's the most popular, is the LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQ issue is, if that's who they are, is it okay to say, you know what, you do you? And they're like, well, do you believe that this is a sin, or this is just the way God made me? I feel like I'm okay with being like, that's between you and God, and I'm okay with that. If you feel like it's right, I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to work within your life. God bless you. Mm-hmm. No, let's be friends. Obviously, there's a difference between that and, say, what would be, you know, like, we would never hire a Jewish rabbi to be our next pastor after you. We don't. Mm-hmm. We believe in Jesus. You cannot believe in Jesus if you're going to be a Christian. So is that an acceptable thing to do with a friend? You have a friend that's that way. You're going to say, we're going to continue to be friends, mm-hmm. and I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to work in your life.
And I'm good with that.
Okay.
I remember being in, I actually was invited to discussion on the LGBTQ issue at one point in my past denomination. And there were two lesbian ladies that were on the same group, and we hit it off and we had good discussions. And there was a piece of truth that they spoke that should have been heard much louder than it was heard. And it was, so why is this sin so much more important to the Mennonites than gluttony?
Amen.
and sexual abuse and all the things that are still sins as well, and we're not heightening those sins at all, especially with our potlucks, but not talking about those sins, but we've made this sin the test spot. And you know, that was truth.
Right.
That was truth. Why on earth give that so much spotlight when there are so many other sins being committed in the church?
Because most of us aren't that way.
And being overlooked.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah.
The gossip. Oh boy.
Mm.
Sometimes in the church, I think the gossips come to church just to get more material.
Oh yeah.
So it's why isn't that seen as just as big a sin?
Yeah.
And it is. Because sin is missing the mark.
Yeah.
It's a archery term of that the arrow is somehow contrived off its mark. And we are the arrows, and we need to be tweaked, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
To fly straight for Jesus
mm-hmm.
because of who God is.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how so many churches to have that, or that's the dividing line, it seems like, right down the center of the country is like, it's either you're a pro LGBT or you're not.
Right.
When we all just, when I want us to be like, do you believe in the Bible or are you just preaching off of something, whatever makes you feel good? I feel like if it's just to affirm what you already believe from lived experiences, I don't think that's a great theology.
That's humanism.
Right.
But that's just,
it's odd that we hitch it to the LGBTQ issue and why we like to just keep bringing that up so much, you know, and a lot of it's a, you know, like, oh, we have to defend ourselves kind of a thing. But I bet if our next episode was about gluttony, here, let's convict.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to be convicted on your gluttonous eating habits? That will be the title. I bet it's not going to get a lot of traction.
No,
but
that's true.
You can't see sexual desire visibly, but you can generally see gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that pretty quick.
It does show on you after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's other things that can impact that, but it is strange that we hammer so hard on that one thing, or at least maybe that's just the culture that's doing it.
Oh, I'd rather hammer on gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not my problem.
Right? That's not my problem. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is my problem.
No.
I'll have to go back to Matthew 7.
Okay.
See if I need to get my plank pulled or my speck pulled.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good point. We'll have more discussions about this. I feel like most of them are pretty much exactly that's what most of this is. Most of these discussions is, you know, are we doing this the right way? Because we don't want to end up being self-righteous.
No.
You know, and that's something that Josh said that I kind of overlooked. And it was the very first question with Josh Lundberg is we were talking about the Pharisees. How do we not become like the Pharisees? And his first thing he said, well, the Pharisees he was talking to, you don't want to be like these ones, right? And these were the ones that came to him that were the self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't wrong with the Pharisees. It was what's wrong with the self-righteousness of these Pharisees.
Of these Pharisees.
And that was an important distinction. And
yeah, because he did have Pharisees that became part of the church.
Yeah.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
We see that by Acts chapter 6, that there were Pharisees in the church.
Yeah. Yes. So will you pray us out, Don?
Do that.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the people who are joining us. We thank you, Lord, for your word and that you entrusted it to our hands to study, reflect upon, and allow your Holy Spirit to move through into our lives. So go with us, Lord. Give us a sense of your peace and your presence as we walk through these times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you made it through a nice long episode, and God bless you. And
enjoy your nap, I'm sure.
Yeah. And hey, we will see you all next week.
Lord willing.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us for this week's episode. We are both having a ton of fun making these videos and episodes. And if you're having fun too, please tell a friend about this and help us to grow this mission. Thank you and God bless.